Welcome to the Insights solo episodes of the Culture and Leadership Connections podcast. My name is Marie Gervais. If you're passionate about gleaning leadership gems from others and delight at the capacity of the human spirit to survive and thrive, this is the show for you. After interviewing 100 plus guests from diverse cultures and professions, I have learned a thing or two about what makes successful people tick and effective managers lead. In each episode, I elaborate on one or several of the themes sparked by Culture and Leadership Connections guests and reflect on how these motifs can help us all be better humans. Join me as we contribute to the leadership discourse by elevating thought around the cultures and leadership themes that influence management and work. And now for today's episode. Welcome to episode 7, What is the Difference Between Training and Coaching? Of the Insights solo of the Culture and Leadership Connections podcast. When an organization approaches me for training or coaching, there's often confusion between the terms. People think that coaching is the same as training and vice versa, or they don't understand why you would need coaching because you don't have any so-called problems. They also don't know what to expect or how to know that there's going to be progress in training and coaching. So I thought it might be helpful to clarify how I see it and how I create the context for each, the types of training, kinds of outcomes that are results of training and coaching together. And that's what this episode is about. I'm going to start with training by separating it into three different categories depending on the goal. Training goals are usually external to the individual. They're based on the organization's goals. Coaching, however, is a process applied to a variety of categories, and it may involve skill practice or not. Its success is dependent on dialogue between the client and the coach, along with practical coaching strategies to get the client to the goals more effectively. It is a combined effort of the goals and the client, the skills of the coach, and the client's willingness to be open and be coachable. So training and coaching are not the same thing. Coaching is more applied to the individual and the relationship between the individual and the coach. And you would want to have that in an organization because coaching of leaders has the biggest impact on the bottom line and the biggest impact on ability to work together towards commonly stated goals. However, coaching is limited without training, and training helps people to get a canon of basic experiences that they need to learn so that they can more effectively use the coaching. So that's why they are nice to have together. But let me tell you a little bit more about the categories of training. Training is typically in a group format, although it can be individuals. The information is sent ahead of time. There are discussion sessions or skill building sessions that are scheduled as part of it. And from the training, you want to see a change in behavior. Either you're looking for a change in knowledge, skill, or attitude. And this should be reflected in pre-identified behaviors. And that's where I see most companies making a mistake. They haven't actually identified what behaviors they would like to see change and why and how they'll know that they've changed. So let me help you a little bit by looking at the three different categories. First, there's the knowledge-based training. If you want training for knowledge only, then the presentation of material with quizzes and some discussion is a typical format. The goal is to see if people know what they should do and can talk about it. That's the goal. Do they know what they should do and can they talk about it? This is the kind of training that most people are used to, but it frequently has disappointing intermediate or long-term results because there's no application to behavior or to organizational goals. Now, if you want people to understand the basics of mathematical principles or the canon of typical philosophers and how philosophy has evolved through different cultures, you would want a knowledge-based training. But if you want somebody to understand, for example, Wimis principles, you probably have to have them apply it to safety in the workplace. Otherwise, it won't show any marked improvement. And that brings me to the next one, which is skills-based training. If you want training for skill development, you assume people have a skill base, and then skill-building sessions help them to improve on the skill base they already have. So, for example, if you wanted them to run an effective meeting and they aren't currently doing it, then they would have to be trained on the principles of an effective meeting and the types of meetings and how to bring about results for effective meetings. And after they've learned that, the test of whether they've got it or not would be that they can actually conduct an effective meeting that everyone in the meeting agrees was effective. And that, of course, would have to be predetermined principles and measures that you've already thought about, which is, again, as I mentioned, often missing. If you don't know what you want to see, then you don't know how to see if it has worked or not. And that's why it's so important to see what skills you want people to improve and how that will look when it's been improved. So if I were thinking about improving somebody's presentation skills, I would want to see that they're confident about presenting, that they have well-organized and well-planned and interesting visuals, and that they can state three key categories, what it is that they're presenting about, and then that they can elicit conversation from people who are shy or people who are not shy, and that they can keep in check those people who want to dominate the conversation. So I would be looking for that to see if they can facilitate that type of interaction and if they're organized enough and clear enough in their mind that they have those things going. Then finally, I would also be looking for their ability to synthesize the thoughts from the discussion of the meeting and move it towards action items. If I see all of those things, I would say, yes, this has been an effective meeting. Now, if it's a brainstorming meeting, I might have different objectives. I might just want to get a lot of ideas out and then have people choose their three top. So whatever you decide to do, you have to have an idea of what's the end goal. So that's skills-based training. Skills-based training is based on observable behavior towards a desired end result. Knowledge-based training, which we talked about first, is understanding and ability to recall information and applied knowledge in a situation where they're staying at the knowledge level, not at the practice level. And the last one is behavior change-oriented training. So if you want to see a behavior change, you want to have knowledge, skill, and attitude move towards a certain desired outcome. You want people to have the right attitude that's going to help them to, say, fix an electrical problem. And you want them to have the skills to be able to diagnose an electrical problem and then to be able to remedy it. And you want them to have a background of knowledge so that they're going to make a correct diagnosis. So you want all three of those for behavior change-oriented training. You want to see a certain kind of behavior cluster that can be applied to a variety of contexts. So once the person who is doing the electrical repairs has a cluster of abilities, knowledge, and attitudes, then that person should be able to move from one context to the next and be able to fix electrical problems. If they can only fix one type of problem that they see in one type of context, then it's not behavior change-oriented training. They have to be able to apply a complex set of skills to a variety of contexts. Skill building can be conducted in a group, usually based again on some understanding that individuals and groups already have, and then it's applied to goal setting with reporting on goal progress. That's really important because people reflecting and reporting on their own progress, I used to know this, now I know this. I used to be able to apply this piece, now I can apply these three pieces. That is the biggest indicator of change of behavior because what you have stated, you are more likely to do, and what you've explained, you are more likely to do correctly. So you can also look at it from the perspective of employee surveys, application of goals to workplace contexts, customer satisfaction, time on job. There are lots of ways that you can look at behavior change. So if you want people to do something faster, then you would be measuring the speed. But again, you have to think this is a human being and there are going to be ebbs and flows in their ability to remain at a certain speed. So then you're going to want to look at what's the baseline of speed performance for a variety of different employees so that you can find something that would be an average and then you measure it to that. Training involves having an identified outcome that you measure towards. And if you don't do that, you are likely to get any kind of an outcome from training, and you won't know if it's been effective or not. So keep that in mind for training. Now, coaching, on the other hand, is more complex and more fluid and more relationship-based than training. For professional development, coaching is kind of like learning a sport or learning how to play an instrument. You learn how to do one piece and then you get coached to that next step and the next step and the next step and then another complex idea until you can apply it in a cluster. Managers and business owners usually need about 12 individual sessions to see a real change in their behavior because it's based on their own personal growth, and that's going to be different for each person. Usually, between the 6 and 8 session benchmark, there's a significant shift in the individual's perception, their attitude, and how they relate to other people. And when that happens, it doesn't go away. So what you're looking for in coaching is sustained action and sustained change of behavior. In training, you're looking to see the outcomes immediately and perhaps up to 3 months afterwards, but you're not continuously measuring towards that. In coaching, you're measuring towards a sustained change of behavior, and it's also increased satisfaction. When you put coaching and training together, you have really magical results. People see incredible results like 200 times return on investment and unrealizable ROI in things because they have put coaching and training together. But remember, you have to know what you're looking for in training so that you know how to evaluate appropriately and how to measure. And in coaching, you have to have some goals that you're moving towards as well. So if you have those things, then you know you're going to move forward. Coaching is very good to do after training because you're able to apply the concepts that you've learned more specifically and in a greater quantity than you would be if you just did the training and no coaching. Let me tell you a little bit about the types of coaching. There's life coaching, business coaching, executive or leadership coaching, performance coaching, health coaching, and relationship coaching. All other types of coaching fit under those basic categories. Life coaching is life skills like budgeting, career building, emotional regulation, managing energy, intergenerational trauma, healing, anger management, all that's life coaching. Anything that has to do with life and how we live is life coaching. And there are many types of life coaching. Business coaching focuses on strategy, finances, marketing, goals, SWOT analysis, and using business tools and applying them specifically. Executive or leadership coaching has to do with strategic planning, visioning, executing on the plan, managing the team, change management of a project, and management skill building. So that's what that type of coaching would be working on. Performance coaching is reaching specific career goals, leadership milestones, and presentation skills. Now, if you're applying this to a sport, for example, I'm thinking of golf right now. You'd want to improve the way that you hit the golf ball and you wanted to get it towards a certain distance and hit a certain goal more frequently. That would be performance coaching. You do the same thing in the business world, but you do it with reaching specific career goals and milestones and presentation skills. Health coaching has to do with nutrition, exercise, weight loss, hormone management, addictions, eating disorders, anything that has to do with us being healthy and well-being as part of it. Usually when you're doing life coaching, well-being is the umbrella under which health would fall. But in health coaching, health is the umbrella under which the well-being would fall. The last one is relationship coaching. So that would be communication, learning to listen more effectively, solving problems in relationships, correctly reading other people's behavior, managing conflict more effectively, working with different personalities, intercultural coaching, and learning to interact with other people and make friends. So you can see how coaching is really necessary to hone skills for individuals. It can also work for groups, as long as there is an individual component that people are using to develop their own skill and contributing that to the team. So coaching doesn't have the same outcomes or the same basis as training because there is no curriculum. The curriculum is the person and what their goals are and what are their obstacles they need to be overcome and the milestones that need to be celebrated. Organizations often find that when they combine training with coaching, they see very good results. There are group coaching programs, but they're typically a cross between training and individual coaching, and they orient the entire group towards a specific set of skills, like learning to trade or how to start a business. That would be an example of group coaching. So as you can see, although they're related, there is a significant difference between training and coaching. With training, success depends on the clarity of the goal and the ability of the instructor and the course to engage people in the materials and the discussions that feel relevant to them and that can be measured. In coaching, it's the opposite process. Success depends on the willingness of the client to work with and engage with the coach and the coach's ability to provide what the client needs to reach his or her personal and professional goals. That involves a mix of encouragement and challenge that is appropriate to the individual. Organizations who invest in both training and coaching have long-term sustainable results, but only if they realize that the organization itself needs to be responsive and to engage in change. Because as the group of trainees starts to make changes to their behavior and the coaches start to make changes to their behavior, that implies a change to the organization. And so if you're not willing to have your organization change, don't involve yourself and your people in training and coaching because it's going to make a change to your organization for the better. It just will require effort on your part, not only on the part of the people that you're training or the individuals who are being coached. So if you're interested in discussing training or coaching with me and find out what suits you in your circumstances, I would be happy to speak with you about that. You can send me an email at marie@shiftworkplace.com. We can find a time to chat and find out what your specific desired outcomes are so that we can see whether training or coaching would work for you. And I can make some suggestions and recommendations. I have a pretty good network of colleagues. And if I am not the person who could meet your needs, I do know people who can, and I can certainly refer you. Now that we've done episode 7 of Insights, I want to thank you very much for listening and ask you to take the time to go to shiftworkplace.com/podcasts and leave a review or ask a question. I would love it if you would do that. And if you would share this episode with a friend, that would also be wonderful. Thank you again for listening to this podcast and for sharing it and rating it, and may culture and leadership connections continue to guide and inspire your day. Newsflash. Listeners can now interact with Culture and Leadership Connections podcast by leaving a voice or text message on Fan List. It is a fun and quick way to let me know what you liked, ask a question, or leave a suggestion. I will feature some of the voice messages on upcoming episodes. You might be surprised to hear your own voice, but only if you leave a message, of course. So to leave your personal message or your question, go to shiftworkplace.com/podcast and click on the Fan List link to leave it. I can hardly wait to hear what you have to say.